push the button that says record.
Record.
Thank you for helping me. My wife's sitting here next to me. She's telling me what to do, like she always does.
Of course.
But anyway, if for the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about cars. At the very beginning of the segment, we're going to talk about some of our family history. But in car stuff is where we're here. What we're here for, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. But we're not going to get to you immediately, but we're going to get to you soon. I want to tell you real quick about Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom and I have been friends for a very long time. He's been in business in North Phoenix since 1983. He has a master technician working for him. Tom's also a master, and he knows what it takes to find and identify the problem, fix the problem, and then drive it to make sure the problem's not there. That's easy for them. So if you're out near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't already have an auto repair shop that you love, may I suggest that you stop by and have Action just do an oil change right there at I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner of I-17 in Deer Valley. Sitting next to me is Renee. And Renee, we have guests in the studio, but we can't put mics on them because
right.
we don't have enough mics. Mm-hmm. So tell us about Tanya and Jonathan and why they're in Arizona and where they came from.
Oh, they came from Michigan. And, well, they actually live in Chicago, but they came to visit. I think it's their anniversary. So that happy anniversary to you too. A great story. My mom lived in Michigan back in the 40s in a place called Scott Lake. And my grandfather had a clinic there. He was a chiropractor, and they had the clinic in the house where they lived. And, several people since my mom and my grandma and grandpa sold the property have owned the house. But Tanya and Jonathan bought it in 2015, and they have turned part of it into a resort. There's some little cottages in the back or whatever, but it is quite a famous place back there. And we traveled through there. We can't remember what year it was, and found the house. And no one was home at the time. We left a business card on their door, and the gentleman called us back and said, you know, we told him who we were and everything. And he said, well, you know, I have an old door that has been in the house, and if you'd like, I can box it up and send it to you.
Okay, now, Grandpa was a chiropractor, and this door had his doctor chiropractor kind of thing on it, and it was stained glass stuff.
Dobbin Chiropractic,
yes. And the guy also lived in Ahwatukee, and I think he was a customer of ours back then.
He was.
And he said, if you'd like the door, I'm a carpenter, I'll box the door up and send it to you. And then we gave it to your mother,
mm-hmm.
Because your father had passed by then, but we gave it to your mother. That now, where is it now?
It's in her home.
Okay.
She had her house, she added on to it, and she put it on a office door up there in the upstairs. And
part of the history of this has to do with when we were there, we got to see the house. Well, obviously, we didn't go inside of it. We just left a business card there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's history that dates way, way back, because Chicago folks, if you go to Chicago, then you go around the lake to the east, and then you go north a little bit, and that's where Scott Lake is at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on the east side of the lake, whatever the lake
is.
Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
East side, very bottom of the thumb of Lake Michigan.
It's west.
It's west.
Mom's correcting you.
Now
you have several people to correct you today.
You're right. It's on the east side of the lake, but it's on the east side of the lake, but it's is that right, Mom? It's on the east side of the lake?
Yes.
The west side. It's the west side of land on the east side of the lake. We're going to agree to that.
Yeah,
okay?
They're really going to get that.
All right, Scott Lake. And so at that particular point, then it became an issue, a thing where there was just so much history.
Right.
And they had, at the time, I guess in the 40s, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
The 40s, they would bring boxers from Chicago, Rocky Marciano.
No, that was in the 50s.
That was in
the
50s.
After my mom and dad left, yeah.
Okay. They brought boxers there to train.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the boxers? Do you remember the boxers? Joe Louis. Joe Louis seems to be a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, the support system for this boxing, what do you call it? Boxing practice area or whatever had to do with a bordello. and so that there was a bordello close by that obviously worked hand in hand with the...
Oh, you have got the story all wrong.
But I'm sorry,
go
ahead.
The house turned into a bordello
after
that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Anyway, but you know, first it was a farm, and then my parents owned it, or my grandparents owned it. My mom lived in there, and then it turned into a bordello for different people and several famous people there. They say Ella Fitzgerald and Al Capone may have visited there. And then in the 70s, there was another family that purchased it. And then after that, there was another family. The Hornbecks, I think, purchased it after that. And that's the gentleman that we've met.
Okay.
And then Tanya and Jonathan purchased it in 2015, did a lot of rehab and have done a lot of work to it. And Tanya's done a ton of, and both of you probably have done a ton of history and learning about the property and everything.
And they're telling your mom things that, that her family didn't even know
exactly
about before and after and the property lines. And, mm-hmm. And I guess they just found a, what's it called, underground?
A cellar.
Cellar. They found one, and somebody had said, oh, that's not the one. So they had the tenacity to keep digging, and they got to Japan, and they covered that hole. Then they went over here, and they found another cellar. Mm-hmm. And then that was the one that the person said, oh, I remember that cellar, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's really a nifty place. We were coming down from the north, and we stopped there because I think we called your mother and said, where's Scott Lake?
It?
Because
yeah.
That's been part of your family lore for forever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So she kind of told us where it was at, and through the grace of God, we found it. And that's the first time anybody from the family had been there for a very long time.
Yeah. And luckily, Mom was able to, you know, talk with Tanya, and they got a lot of history about when Mom lived there, so that was kind of nice. But they were just telling us shortly, a little bit ago, that even when they're out floating on the lake, they hear people talking about the property there. And so it was quite a famous place.
Well, I think Tanya said that the word bordello was used a lot.
I don't think that was it at all, but whatever. And
that would explain the popularity of this house at the lake.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, we're talking back 50, 60, 70 years ago?
I know.
Back then it wasn't like it is today.
But you're just taking out a short portion. There was a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
It was.
Okay, but the house was a bordello at one time.
Okay. Get over it.
Okay, I'm not going to go there just because it was.
Okay.
I'm sure the signs are gone, and I'm sure the windows are gone and all that other stuff, but yeah. It's still a lot of fun. So anyway, Jonathan and Tanya are here with us, mm-hmm. and we're going to take car questions, 602-508-0960, but they're here to just kind of mix with us, Mark and Renee, and then Renee's mother, Laurel, and so it's interesting because Mark and Renee get to watch them talk about it, and we find out stuff that we didn't know mm-hmm. at all. And I think your mother finds out stuff from Tanya that she didn't know, and then Tanya finds out a whole lot of stuff that your mother remembers.
Yeah.
And I would just caution you, Tanya, she's only going to be conveniently remember the good stuff. You're going to have to dig kind of hard for some of the stuff. Like, ask her, where did your father spank you? Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And she may point to a tree where she had to go or something like that. Those are the kinds of questions that my mother-in-law is, she's never said a bad word in her life. She gives me this look like my mother 10 times worse if I say a bad word. Mm-hmm. And so, but even to have her utter the word bordello is just an amazing thing for me.
Okay.
Anyway, 13 minutes after the hour, I had a conversation. I got an email today. This is on the car stuff.
Okay.
It's from Big Bill, who owns the landscape company across the street from the shop.
Okay.
And he says that when his staff comes there, they leave their diesels idling outside.
Right.
And he said to them, I don't understand why that your diesel, it has to run. Why don't you shut it off? And the one guy said, it uses 10 times the fuel to restart it as it does to leave it running.
Okay. Is that true?
My exact words to Bill were, you have been fed a line of brown substance that is not true in any way, shape, or form. And here's the example I gave him. You know those little things you put in your nose and you push a button and you sniff, that mm-hmm, kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. Let's pretend that's the fuel injector.
Okay.
So when the diesel truck is idling, this is how it sounds. It goes now there's 8 cylinders, so it's doing that in a series of 8 different times. So we're squirting fuel in it. They want him to believe that 10 minutes of idling and it's going to use this huge amount of money to restart the car. Well, the difference in the between a cold motor and a hot motor is is about 1 millisecond of time, 1 millionth of a second. So if it's 0.8 when you start the car and it's hot, then it's going to be 0.9. We're going to spray just a little bit more fuel if it's cold. Even if it's below zero, we don't care. The computer controls all of that. So the idea that it costs more fuel to shut it off and turn it on is so far from the truth, but this is something that got on the internet and some guy told everybody that he was a diesel expert and he's been a part of this process, and it takes 10 times the fuel to restart a car and it's cheaper just to let it run. Nothing is close to being the truth. It's just all flat bull, poo-poo. That's all it is. The idea is that the computer controls the spray, and it, when you turn the key on, it looks at the ambient temperature, it looks at the engine temperature, and it knows immediately, it looks at the chart, and it says, I'm going to give them 3 milliseconds of time. That's it. Millionth of a second. 3 millionths of a second of spray.
Yeah.
So it's you can't even talk that fast.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that these guys want everybody to believe that it's cheaper to let the truck run. Well, when you let it run, it cools down. We don't get the water to 212 to where we can get the water out as a vapor. So we end up contaminating the oil from your diesel with water. And it's the worst thing in the world to let your diesel just sit out there and smoke itself to death.
And what I thought of, I hope they're not backing in by our fake grass, because that's what gets it melted.
In the front of our shop, we have fake grass, and we couldn't figure out why we had these big things, looks like a little saucer landed and just screwed up all the grass. And we finally realized that people were backing into the spot, and the tailpipe would melt the artificial grass. So now we have signs in the near area in front of our repair shop that says, please don't back into these spots. And people ask us all the time, why? Mm-hmm. Well, because your exhaust pipe's going to burn our fake grass.
Yep.
And that's the answer.
They still do it, but.
They still do it. Your signs didn't work very well. I thought a really big sign would be better, but your little bitty signs really haven't worked that well.
They were big enough. People just don't pay attention.
But the idea behind this diesel issue, somebody wrote that on some blog somewhere, and from then on, it's used to justify stupid actions of stupid people that want their diesel to rattle outside while they're inside Safeway, buying, you know, a six pack of beer for mom and some milk for the kids.
Okay.
So it doesn't make much sense. 602-508-0960. Automatic transmission exchanges over on 40th Street in Washington. Phil was around when Fred Flintstone first built the first car, and Phil's been around automatic transmissions since the 50s. So I can tell you that the automatic transmission of the 50 is very similar to the one that you have in your car right now that's got 8 speeds and it's shifted by the computer. The difference is how is it shifted? Electronically, vacuum, or is the computer saying, let's shift? So Phil knows them all from the very beginning. So if you have a problem, he's at 40th Street in Washington, automatic transmission exchange. And by far, he's the best guy around, and he's been in the Phoenix area since 1968. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee, and she'll answer all the car questions today because I'm just going to take a break. and we're going to go to Tib because Tib's been waiting. But before I do that, real quick, 602-508-0960. We're going straight to the calls. You can be next. All you have to do is be the next caller. And Gil's going to answer the phone. He's going to say, you want to talk to Mark? You say, yeah. He's going to ask you your name. He's going to whisper your name in my ear, and then I'm going to know you're next. So, Tib, you're first. How can I help you?
Well, good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call, and good morning to your wife.
Oh. Hello.
My wife has a 2018 Traverse, Chevy Traverse, and the back cabin does not get the cooling air. It blows. The air blows, and you can turn it up and down, but there's no cooling back there. I'm assuming that there's an actuator that has gone bad. How tough is it to get at the actuator for that particular model of car?
I don't know. Does it also have heat back there or not? Using the same...
There would be heat back there, yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I want to use the word actuator, but I'll tell you how most of us would fix that. There's an orifice tube that meters the amount of Freon through the evaporator, and the evaporator is the cold radiator up above, and there's a fan behind it, and as the fan blows across the evaporator that's real cold, then you get cold air back there. If we have heat back there, we have to be able to switch it from heat and shut the AC off. And sometimes when you go into defrost, we actually turn the AC on, and so that really befuddles that rear unit. So I don't think you're going to have an actuator issue. I think what's more likely is that the AC is overcome because it's the orifice tube that's supposed to meter the amount of Freon through the system is plugged up with some dirt, some trash, or some metal. That happens every once in a while. In addition to that, there may be a blend door, and I want you to picture this door kind of in the middle of a doorway. So if it swings left and hits this doorway edge, then that gives you cold air, and then it goes back to the neutral position, and then if it goes right, it gives you warm air. And that would be the activator, and we call it a blend door. That would be something that would be up there, but I don't think the Traverse has a blend door in the rear AC unit, but I've been wrong before. This typically isn't a big deal, especially if the front blows cold. That means that this isn't going to be a compressor problem. It isn't going to be a Freon problem. It's going to be something back there that the signal is just not getting back there to say, close off the hot and give me the cold, or vice versa. Give me the hot and close off the cold. That's what we're talking about.
Okay. Do you have any idea how much trouble it is to run that problem down?
I would imagine that you're going to be no less than $50, $75 on the short side. And I also want, and then on the top side, you're probably up to $125, $125. But I want to tell you this too. It's entirely possible that this might cost you $89 to find it and $2 to fix it. Because like,
yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and that happens a lot in those rear units, especially when people don't exercise, those rear units like they should. So, do you have a shop that you like?
Well, we live in the far West Valley in Buckeye, and do you have anybody in this part of the world? You better get out here. You got to start getting things for the West Valley area. Goodyear, Avondale, Buckeye. We need some good service.
Yeah, 38th Avenue in Indian School. Harper's?
Harper's is close as I can get you. Let me defend myself, though. My levels and my level of quality is quite high. S&S used to be our guys, but they just recently sold to a conglomerate, and we don't take those kinds of facilities that are managed by someone in Milwaukee. So we don't take those in our list of best car shops. We've also had other car repair shops over the last, I've been on radio since 1988. We've had other car shops on the West Valley along the I-10 corridor.
Thunderbird is one that comes to mind, yeah.
Well, we even had a dealership. We took a dealership out there. I don't know if it was a Brown or a Chapman or something like that. We took a dealership one time. But you know what you can do? And don't tell anybody I said this, okay? Stop by a couple of auto parts stores and find the Grizzly guy in there and say to him, hey, who pays their bills? Who doesn't order parts and then returns them, which tells you that he's just trying to see if this part fixes it? No, it doesn't. He doesn't have good diagnostic capabilities. So ask him about the old-time shop and the guy that you have or the boss uses to fix his car, because the auto parts store is going to know who the good guys and the best shops are. So stop by a local Napa or an AutoZone. Find the old Grizzly guy there and ask him who the good shops are in your area. And that would be a good start.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good advice.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for your information, and we'll proceed from here.
Thank you very much, Tib. 602-508-0960. We got 5 lines open. You're welcome to grab one. Any kind of question that you have, I'll tell you if I can answer it, and then if I can't, Renee will tell you how it really is, and she can help you out a lot. And she's been flying wingman for since 1974, actually 79. She's been involved in our business, and her and my daughter. Oh, I got to tell them the quick story. My daughter Andy, the other day, we had a car that had a problem. Was an Explorer, and we couldn't tell if it was a transmission problem or if it was an engine miss problem. Mm-hmm. So was the transmission hunting, going from fifth to sixth, back to fifth, up to sixth, back to sixth, or was it an engine miss, like a bad spark plug?
Mm-hmm.
Andy just answered it over the phone.
Okay.
She just said, I have the same car.
Okay, she did radio with you last week. Yeah. She's more into it than I am now.
She said, I have an Explorer just like you have, and this is what happens. And if you look at your tachometer, you'll notice that it's bouncing back and forth, and that tells you the transmission's going in and out of lockup, and da, 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 da. And I'm going, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And she really had it together. But anyway, that's kind of what it's all about is you're looking for good shops that that have the skills and the history to be able to fix. And I'm looking for the top 25% shops.
Yep.
I'm looking for the shops that really know what they're doing. And frankly, I haven't had any changes in at least 10 years in
the
list.
Other than people have been selling.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then that does happen. We had a body shop that just sold to a conglomerate, and we had to take them off. That's our rules. That's what my promise to the rest of the shops is, we're not going to get involved in those kinds of conglomerates. And then we've had, we had more than a couple. S&S sold out. Greg at ADS sold out. Howard at American Tire sold out. Yeah. And then Sun Devil sold out. Joel Higginbotham and his son were good people.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, the phones are open, 602-508-0960, and you're welcome to join us. And if you're outside the Phoenix metropolitan area, you can call 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. And if you're in Michigan.
1 minute.
And you're in the southwest portion of Michigan, I want you to look up Scott Lake Resort. Scott Lake Resort. Because it's a great place to go. You can spend the night or you can spend a week. They have fishing and they have lots to do there. And it's really a nice, quaint place. And it's very much unlike Scottsdale, Arizona. So it's the antithesis of Scottsdale, Arizona. So, and you can go to facebook.com/Scott Lake Resort. Or you can just go to the website, scottlakeresort.com. And for those of you that are challenged with spelling, Scott has two T's in it. So scottlakeresort.com. Anyway, 602-508-0960. My wife Renee is sitting here next to me. And it's a pleasure. We're going to spend the rest of the day with the folks from Scott Lake. But it's a great place. And we've been there ourselves, not when they owned it, but before that. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. We have open lines available. We have four of them. So that's 602-508-0960. I'm pretty sure you can get one. 602-508-0960. But we're going to take Rob because he waited through the break. Rob, good morning. How can I help you? Hi, Rob.
Thank you, Mark. My son has a Chevy Silverado. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Can you hear me there, Mark?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, my son has a Chevy Silverado half done with a 5.7, but very little valve timing, and he's going to have to replace that engine. What do you think of one, Jasper engines, and what do you think of number two, DOD delete?
Well, I don't think that you should do the cylinder on demand delete. I think you should leave it the way it is. What year is the truck?
A 2011.
Okay. Got a lot of miles on it, does it? Does it have a lot of miles?
Yeah, it has about 130,000 miles.
Okay.
It has 130,000 miles. He went through a machine shop. They replaced the engine, and they won't warranty it. So this time when he replaces the engine, he doesn't want it. He wants one with a good warranty because he got robbed by the last shop.
Then it's Jasper, Jasper, Jasper over and over and over again because that's what you'd get at my shop. And now let me explain. I don't want you to take this variable valve timing thing out because the success of that particular modification is not very good. The fact of the matter is this truck is 10 years old. And because it's 10 years old, it's 10 years old in technology. Every day of my life, our parts department will say and can say, oh, we got this new windshield wiper motor. And by the way, this arm is no longer plastic. This happens a lot. So in our industry, we're constantly fixing problems that we created when we first started making it. But there's nobody better than Jasper when it comes to rebuilt engine and having all the upgrades, all the newest upgrades that are installed in this engine. So hands down, if you want me to keep talking about Jasper, I'll do another 2 minutes on all the stories that we've had. Renee, you know,
right.
Remember, what's his name, the guy with the old blue truck out of Globe or Miami?
Oh,
first name?
Joe.
Joe. you remember we had that 390 and we mm-hmm. put it in. We bought it from Jasper and mm-hmm. we wanted it all upgraded. And gosh, you just drank oil. And finally they said, just take the motor out and send it to us and put him in a rental car.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, they're even going to pay in the rental car. Then they called back and they said, we thoroughly screwed up the installation of that engine. We screwed mm-hmm. up the cylinder, this one cylinder, and that's where all the oil was leaking. And he says, we're sending you another engine and we're going to give him a longer warranty and we're going to pay for the rental car and we're going to pay you guys to do all that work. That's what Jasper is all about. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, just, we're not the biggest vendor of Jasper right. Motors in Arizona, but we're certainly in the top half. And so it's a good place. That I would suggest you try Jasper.
Just a little more on that DOD delete. Why you think that would be bad from Jasper to get the DOD delete version of that engine?
Well, it's not a plug-and-play thing. You're going to have to change some of the electronics because the computer's going to be looking for sensors that don't no longer exist, and it's going to be looking for parameters that no longer exist. And so the computer, in order for it to set the timing, it has to know the load, it has to know the RPMs, it has to know what transmission gear you're in, and if you can't provide that, then it can't very well advance or retard the TAM shaft. I think the idea that you're going to take a step forward by doing the delete is a bad idea. I think technology is 10 years newer than that truck had, and I think the technology of today will be sufficient. That's my opinion. But certainly you can do whatever you want.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know, and I appreciate it, Mark.
Okay. You bet, Rob. 602-508-0960. And I'm asking Gil, can you stop pointing? Because you just drive me crazy when you point.
I guess somebody's got to keep you on track.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I already talked about automatic transmission exchange, so I'm going to talk about Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Chuck and I have been friends since 1968. He owns Automotive Dynamics in Sun City. I know Chuck. He's a perfectionist. He wants everybody to fix the car right the first time, and sometimes I have to talk him down off of the fence because he's mad at somebody when really it's a mistake I've made maybe three or four times in my life. So it's a good shop. It's up on Grand Avenue, north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Their technicians, according to Chuck, and I believe him, he doesn't pay commissions. He doesn't pay a percentage of your repair bill to his technicians because he doesn't want them to unsell you unnecessary parts or repairs. In his defense, that's a great idea. It doesn't always work good, but he's making it work good. That's not the way it is in my shop either. So it's Auto Dynamics, Sun City, those are synonymous, and that's a great place for you to start if you're new to the area. Anything else you want me to do?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. See, when I have Renee on the air, she tries to keep me in. And actually, I've been doing this by myself for so long.
I know.
And I usually
and
do a pretty
And you still need
job.
Help. I don't understand it.
And you're saying that because your mother's in the room.
That's right.
That's it. And we're going to talk to your mother next hour.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about some of the things that you did when you were younger that just caused her gray hair.
Really?
Yeah. And some
I'm
of the
sure
things
there was quite a few things.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure out what they are.
Okay.
While we've got a minute, though, let me talk about Blackwell Automotive. 40th and Greenway. He's on the other side of Auto Dynamics in Sun City, but Tom and I have been friends for a lot of times, and he does family cars, he does motor homes, but what he really excels in is vintage and antique cars. So if you've got a car with a four-barrel carburetor and you want to move it to fuel injection or make you put a blower on it, Tom's the guy you need to talk to. So from start to finish, he does pretty much everything. So motor swaps, transmissions, going from a manual to an automatic, automatic to a manual, whatever you've got in the vintage idea between your ears on your 70s Chevelle Supersport, then it's worth just talking to Tom. 40th and Greenway, good guy. His name is Tom Blackwell, and the auto shop is Blackwell Automotive. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Lines are wide open if you have a car question. I'm really good at those kinds of discussions that mm-hmm. involve my wife says this and I say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. You're the best.
So, goodness. My wife says to do this and my husband says to do that. And Mark, you pick or something like that. Or if we're looking for a new truck and we want it to be a gas truck and we want it to be a 3/4 ton, then we want to talk about the three different trucks that are out there. That's okay. We can
handle
that.
Kind of narrow it down is what you usually like.
Exactly.
Have a few in mind so they're,
so we can talk about
it. There's a lot of them. Yes, that's true. We can talk about going to Rescue Allen on Mount Ord.
Oh, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And that's the number to get in. Gil's going to answer the phone, then he's going to whisper in my ear, and he's going to say, hey, John's next. And that's what we'll do. But anyway, Alan, our son, we bought a new Defender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a four-wheel drive off-road vehicle that seats six people, I think, two in the front and four in the back or something. And it has windows and it has air conditioning.
We haven't even seen it, really.
Yeah,
we haven't been in it yet.
But Alan, our son, owns a business that takes off-road vehicles and spiffs them up. So he put everything that we sell and install on this one as a demo. On his first day out with all of his friends and with his best buddy and their boys, the right front or the right rear wheel blows off the scooter. And so now he's deep within the woods, and he has no tools, and they can't lift it up to put the tire back on it. So he calls his daddy. And so Renee and I load up the truck with tools and a floor jack. We take the four-wheel drive. We go up to Mount Ord. We go across the road quite a ways. We find where the people are around the truck, but they then lead us to where the scooter's at. So then we jack it up, and through the grace of God, two of the five lug nuts are still on the hub assembly that we can use. But we take all the people out of the quad and put them in the back of our truck, mm-hmm. and we bring them back to pavement, and then Alan's the only weight in the scooter. So we ended up getting it on the trailer. But I haven't let him forget that we do this for a living, and it's really a bad idea for us to do work on someone's brand new, very expensive off-road vehicle and then have it break down the very first time.
Yeah, thank goodness it was us.
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
He'll
know not to do spacers anymore on the wheels.
And that's what it was. Yeah. He had attempted to extend the width of the wheelbase by using some spacers, and the spacer actually collapsed, which caused the wheel to fall off. So we've learned a good lesson, and now we won't be selling any spacers for any reason.
Nope.
Because they certainly can't hold up to anything.
But that's the first time we had been up on Mount Ord, and it was pretty crazy.
Pretty scary.
One-lane road and pretty rough.
And when you meet people, you better hope that one of you has enough four-wheel drive to get off the road to let the other guy get past.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say good morning to Dave.
Dave, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I called in a couple of months ago concerning my wife's X3 2019 BMW, and I had taken it to a BMW dealership, and they wanted to sell us the decarbonization and fuel injector cleaning. And when I talked to you, you said, no, you don't need those, and I didn't think I did, but so I never did them. Well, recently I took the car back in because we had a problem with the headliner, and when I did, they said, your brakes need to be replaced on the front of the car. And I said, okay, can you give me a quote? And they said, yeah, it's like $1,400, which, of course, I thought was kind of crazy. So I took it to his other shop that I work with, and they said, well, bring it in, let's check it out, and we'll tell you what you're going to need to do. When I got it back from them, they said, we can grind the rotors, they're really in good shape, and just put brake pads on it, and it'll cost you less than $300. So I did that. But my wife is concerned that maybe that's not I didn't do the right thing. What do you think?
Well, I'm telling your wife, you did the right thing. Let me explain. In our industry, we have people who misrepresent what they're seeing. So, and in the front brake pads on any car, I don't care if it's a Chevy pickup truck or if it's your BMW, I don't care. Brake pads are going to wear slightly uneven. So typically the inboard pad wears a little bit more aggressively than the outboard pad. However, there are some particular problems that will create a drastic difference in wear between the two pads. So the outer pad will be gone and the inner pad is brand new. A lot of technicians, because no one's watching them, will misrepresent the pads, and this is what the conversation sounds like. Oh, Salem's BMW. It's got uneven pad wear, so we're going to have to do wheel bearings and rotors, and we're going to have to replace the caliper. So I need a caliper, I need a new rotor, and I need inner and outer wheel bearings, and I need all the labor that goes on to that. Now, there's no one there that says, come on, Salem, let's go look at it. I want to see what you're seeing. And I have history of this. There's been times where I go out and I go, You're talking uneven wear? Well, yeah, there's 10,000ths difference between that. Let me tell you something, Chuck. The human hair is 10,000ths thick. You're telling me that you can see that there's 10,000ths difference between the thickness of this old outer pad and the thickness of this old inner pad, and now you want to replace the caliper just because you measured it with a micrometer. Pack up your toolbox and get the hell out of here. That's what's going on. So somebody misrepresented this thing, and the second shop said, all I want to do is cut the rotors and hang some pads on it, and you're done. And he didn't see a problem with the pad wear. He didn't see a wheel bearing problem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the dealership wanted to replace the rotors and the pads.
Okay.
And the other shop said, you know, if I have to replace the rotors, it's going to be a lot more money because I have to buy them from BMW. But
okay.
I don't have to replace the rotors, then it's under $300, and that's what it came in at.
Okay, well, I don't have to buy my rotors from BMW, and I buy the same rotors that they do. They come in a different box. And it has a different brand on it. So the idea that BMW has a factory somewhere in the world that makes their rotors is not true. BMW buys from the four or five companies that make rotors for everybody in the whole wide world. And when you start talking about those kinds of things, you talk about batteries and hoses and belts and all that kind of stuff. There's only four companies in the world that make spark plugs. Four companies. So you can take your BMW spark plug and your Mercedes spark plug and your all these hot rod Jaguar spark plugs, and they're made at one of those four factories, and they're put in a Jaguar box with a Jaguar logo on them. So it's a crazy thing, but somebody misrepresented, and that's the difference between I can understand a pair of pads and rotors, because the rotor thickness is at the minimum and the pads are worn out. I can understand, and that's a normal brake job. But when you start talking about wheel bearings and calipers, it's altogether different.
And a lot of those, like BMWs and like the Jaguars and whatever, they want you to replace those rotors, but they don't always. I mean, I think on the Jaguar you do, and some of the Mercedes. But
usually there is a minimum thickness.
Right.
And so let's pretend in a world of just round numbers that mm-hmm. the rotor is a half an inch thick.
Right.
Well, they want you to replace it when it's 3/8 of an inch mm-hmm. thick. And so we have measuring tools to tell us that.
Right.
If you're really, really close and your last brake job lasted 60,000 miles, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to sell you
right.
a rotor
mm-hmm.
because you the rotor will be thin,
sure.
too thin, in the next 70,000
yeah.
miles.
Yeah.
So those, but why can't you have that conversation in front of the customer?
I know. Or let them show you
yeah.
what they see.
Yeah. yeah. So that's the difference. I applaud the second shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, this was the first brake job on the front wheel, or on the car, and it had about 36,000 miles on it. And this shop originally said, you know, I don't think you need probably pads yet or anything. But then when he saw it, he goes, no, and the computer had kicked in saying it's time to replace the brakes. So that's what we did.
Okay. Well, let me just caution you. The computer doesn't know how thick the brake pads are. The computer's looking at a big algorithm on how far you drove, how many times you applied the brakes, how fast you go, is your wife applying the brakes at 90 miles an hour and you're applying the brakes at 40 miles an hour when she takes it to work and blah, 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 blah. I don't trust the algorithm part. Why can't we just check your brakes free when we're rotating your tires? And we should rotate your tires about every 10,000 miles. So if you have a 10,000-mile oil change interval, then we're going to rotate your tires at every oil change interval. Why don't we just check the brakes then? They're right there staring at the face when we take the wheel off. That's what really good shops do.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I guess I'll be able to tell my wife that really, there's nothing to worry about.
And it's all her fault if she's a primary driver. It needed brakes, and if she would learn how to drive, then we wouldn't need brakes at all.
Yeah. Don't tell her that, okay?
If she doesn't drive 90 miles an hour, I can assure you that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, mine does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we had problems with your Jaguar brakes, didn't we?
I don't remember.
Of course you don't remember. It was a V8 supercharged Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a four-door, and it was a monster-running car. Have
yeah,
I represented it?
It was.
Okay, and
but you were the only one that drove 90, so. or you more.
You can't say I drove it 950 or 9,500 miles, and Mark drove it 500 miles, and it's his fault that the brakes need to be done. You can't say that.
Okay,
it's not
fair.
We
weren't talking about brakes. We were talking about how fast we were driving.
but the issue is it has to do with how many times your foot's on the brake pedal is how much your brakes are wearing.
Yeah,
and most people, if they would anticipate traffic a little bit better, and here's the key. I tell people, pretend like you don't have any brakes and drive like, you know, coast into the stop and stuff like that.
Yes.
And that's where
save
the fuel economy.
Here's
my best fuel economy trick.
Okay.
Best one ever.
Uh-huh.
Take a hot cup of coffee.
Okay.
Take the lid off of it. Make sure it's as full as can be. Mm-hmm. And put it right down between your legs and drive with not spilling anything.
Yep. That would make you go slower.
That'll save your brakes, and you'll get the very best fuel economy you've ever got in your life.
I'm going to remember that next time we go up the hill. You're going to be having coffee between your legs.
If you drive rambunctiously, you're going to have burns between your legs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just drive cautiously, then your brakes last forever, and your fuel economy is a huge number.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
You should take your own advice.
I didn't bring you on this show to argue with me, okay? All right. People already know I have faults.
Yes.
You don't need to talk about them.
Okay.
Okay. Or otherwise, this is your last show, and it could be your last show for like
you
a couple of years.
You keep promising, but.
I know. We've been together since how long?
I don't know, a long time.
About 2 minutes.
How long have we been together? When did we first start dating? 69? 70?
70, probably.
Yeah. And folks, she asked me to go out, and I said, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gil's talking to you.
I know he's talking to me, but I'm at 5703, and I got to be out at 58.
He probably told you 1 minute. Yeah.
No,
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 602-508-0960. We've got 5 lines available. You're welcome to use them. We're going to be here from 11 to 12, so we have lots of time, and we can fit usually about 8 or 10 callers in an hour, so you're welcome to join us. Right now, you're going to wait about 4 minutes before we go back on the air, but you can do that, 602-508-0960. Those of you that listen to us on iHeartRadio, you can, if you want, use 888-960-9696, because this station, 96 KKNT in Phoenix, is on 960 on the AM dial, and that's the reason why that phone number looks like that. So 888-960-9696.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to walk it to the end of the hour, or do you want me to?
No, go ahead.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure you have some wisdom to share.
I'm not going to wisdom anything. I want to say, if you've got a car question and you and your wife argue about the answer, I'm a really good arbitrator, and all you have to do is fairly represent both sides. So tell me what your side of the issue is and what your answer is, and then tell me what her side of the issue and what her answer is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will take it and then ask me the question. So which tires are the best for my car?
Mm-hmm.
We get that sometimes. And my wife says that I should use, her dad used Quaker State and I use Vaseline, and which one should we use?
Mm-hmm.
The oils. So
right.
Those are the kinds of questions that we're really good at as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I can't even agree on the answers to those anyway, so we can both chime in.
That's right.
602-508-0960 outside the metropolitan area is 888-960-9696, and I'll get that out of my mouth. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're going to be here for an hour. The lines, with the exception of Andy, who I'm going to take his call in just a minute, we have 4 lines open. So if you have a car question, if you have a question about Goodyear tires versus Michelin's or Vaseline versus Quaker State, or what kind of inflation should I use, and should I put, what do they put, kind of air they put in the cars now?
That nitrogen?
Nitrogen,
is that,
yeah.
Is that what
yeah.
You're talking about?
Does nitrogen make any difference in my tires? Those are the kinds of questions that you argue about at the dinner table, but I am Judge Judy extraordinaire, and I will tell you which way the cow ate the cabbage. Andy, you're up first. I'm not going to make you wait much longer. How you doing? What can I do for you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm not in trouble yet. I'm trying, but I'm not in trouble yet.
I have a quick question. I'm kind of at work right now, so I have a quick question. I have a 2015 Chevy Silverado LT, and it has almost 300,000 miles on it. And it's more of a work truck that I've traveled across state lines with.
Uh-huh.
And when it's pretty much, and, you know, it's been a great truck other than the transmission. I think some kind of, it's given out a couple of times. But my major thing is the engine. you know, when it's time to replace it, because I'm sure in the heck he ain't gonna go buy a $100,000 Chevy truck, you know, so I'd rather replace the engine. What do you think I'm doing that to save money?
Well, to be fair,
I have time to keep the truck.
Okay, I can answer that question without any problem at all. The next step of the beginning of the end is going to be oil consumption and or blow by, and a side effect of that's going to be oil leak that gets worse and worse and worse. So we're going to see when you start seeing blue smoke, you're towards the end of the life. When you start seeing a lot of oil leaking from the engine, you're starting to see the end of the life. That's what happens to a motor when it wears out. We get internal pressure. We start popping gaskets. We're pumping, and this oil inside the engine is in, because the engine is not under a vacuum, a negative state. It's in a positive state, and it has all this blow by. And then, of course, we're going to have valve covers leaking, oil pans leaking, front rear seals on the crankshaft leaking. So until you have those problems, or until you have a check engine light on and they pull the spark plug and it's full of oil, those are the things that the beginning or the end is sometime in the next 6 months, because we always see that at 300,000 miles, it doesn't have any blow by. It doesn't have any huge oil leaks underneath it. It doesn't have any fouled spark plugs. That motor's got a lot of time left on it.
All right, cool. Now, is that pretty? I think you were saying something about Jasper.
Jasper's a good motor. You're going to have yours rebuilt, so the shop may say, I have a machine shop guy, and I'm going to send it to him, and he's going to rebuild your motor. And you're going to say, well, what's the name of the machine shop? Because I'd like to do a little reviews on him and see what kind of reviews he has. How long has he been in business? I want to make sure that we're making a good decision here. In addition to that, give me your estimate's going to look like this. The motor is $4,000. In and out is $1,500, and I've got $800 worth of miscellaneous oil, filter, engine mounts, belts, hoses, coolant, etc., etc. That's what your estimate's going to look like. Now, he could buy a crate motor from Chevrolet. The crate motor from Chevrolet is not going to be any different, as far as I'm concerned, than the Jasper motor. It's a rebuilt engine. And I've been selling Jasper for probably 15 or 20 years, mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah.
And we've not had any problem. We've had one motor that was bad, and they covered everything. And it was a great relationship, and I'm glad that it failed, because we got to find out that these guys are really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'd worry about it. I think the beginning of the end is you foul a spark plug and it's oil fouled. I think that's when you start looking around. That's usually what happens to people. You get a puff of blue smoke out the tailpipe. We foul the spark plug. It has an engine miss. Okay, the end is near. The end is in the next 6 months or a year. That's the answer.
Okay, great. So how would I just contact this number again with you, or do I go offline and
What part of town do you live in?
In North West Glendale, off of Pinnacle Peak and 67th Avenue.
Okay. I would probably, in your particular area, Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School, would be somebody who's been around since Jesus was a baby. And Bob and Ellen, Bob knows more about cars than I do. He's a little older than I am, but he's just a wise guy, a wise man. And he knows cars and trucks. And Ellen runs the front counter, and she runs Bob, too. But Ellen and Bob at Larry Harker's Auto, they're capable of taking that motor out.
Yeah, Kurt's up north, do you
Kurt's
think?
I-17 and Bell Road.
Yeah, because he said Pinnacle Peak, so that's pretty far north.
Yeah, but he's on the west side, I think. Didn't you say you're on the west of Central Avenue?
Yes, west.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 7th Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's, if you go to marksalem.com and just click on the best car repair shops, all the shops that I recommend are on a map there. And any one of those guys can take care of your engine swap when the time comes and your engine gives up the ghost, then any of those guys can take care of that.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you very much, Andy. 602-508-0960. Lines are wide open. There's five of them. If you have a car question, then give us a call. And then what happens is Gil takes your name, and then he whispers in my ear, your next caller is Janice, or your next caller is Fred, or something like that. And then we just go right to you. Gil, we don't have anybody in queue right now, right?
He's probably on the phone taking
somebody's
call right now.
Yeah, so we'll just wait right now for him. You know what I mean?
You know, you'd got to call her right now. Oh. Say hello to Jim.
Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. You know what? Very annoyed, and I'll tell you why I'm annoyed. I turn on the radio, and then there you guys are, and I'm confused. Is the Tesla channel? I mean, come on. I'm listening to you for car advice, and you freaking call an engine and motor constantly? It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. It might be just a pet peeve, but there is a difference between an engine and a motor. And it's very confusing when one minute you're saying your engine's going to blow, and then you say your motor's going out. Pick one. Engines are combustible. Motors are electric.
Are you done?
Have a good day.
Okay. All right.
That was interesting. Yeah. I guess he'd been getting mad about that for a while.
Yeah, yes. I recognized the voice.
Okay.
I just, Jim, there was a little bit of laughing in there.
Yeah.
And I recognized the voice. And folks, he's right. Engine and motor have two different things. But I want to ask you, do you know the difference between an engine and a motor?
Well, he just told us.
What is it?
One has compression or something and one is electric.
Oh, okay. So I guess the electric motor,
uh-huh,
and then an engine that it uses some alternate source of fuel like LP or gasoline or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't care.
Right.
My feelings not hurt because he pulled my trunk pants down and spanked me in front of everybody and he says the engine and the motor, because there's a whole lot of wives right now that are driving around in their cars and they look at their husband and their husband's got a big grin on his face because he knows that the idea that there's a big difference in the quality of the show if I call it an engine or a motor is bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all there is. It's just, it doesn't make any difference. That's like complaining because I like Chevron oil and he likes Vaseline.
Yeah.
Just a part of the thing.
Okay.
So, but I'll find out who Jim is because I think we have caller ID and Gil will get that for me.
But he didn't want to stick around to see what you had to say.
No, he didn't. But I'm quite sure he's a friend of mine.
It was just
that kind of a wink, wink kind of thing.
Yeah.
And here's his brother. His brother's on now. Who's this, Gil?
Actually, it's not his brother. It's Don.
Don. Okay. Don, good morning. Do you want to argue about engine and motors?
No, Mark, thank you. This is Don L., the plastic gauge guy, not the tow truck driver.
Oh, yes.
Anyway,
thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the honorable mention. I heard on the radio last week.
Yeah.
This is becoming a kind of a regular thing, weekly. But anyway, you recommended Thompson's. Anyway, they finished up the engine swap in my Sonoma. Seems how we're talking engine swaps today.
Yeah, engine or motor?
it's just a little Sonoma four-cylinder, four-banger, but it was quite a project. It always is. And Scott did the work for me. He's a mechanic there. He knows you and mm-hmm. Renee.
Yeah,
he used to work for us.
Yeah. Including all the gaskets and seals and some of the parts that were able, the low-time accessories that were able to be transferred to the new engine,
uh-huh,
the replacement. He did all that, and then anything that needed, replacement, new parts he put on. And we even put a new clutch in it.
Good.
Anyway, I took it for a little spin around the vacant lot next door and ran it through all the gears and reverse and everything. It runs like a fine Swiss watch. I mean, that Scott really did. Kenny Scott.
Yeah.
Just really fantastic job on it. And I left it there because we have an emergency brake release mechanism problem.
Okay.
And we had to order a special spring for it for the return. Anyway, so I left it there.
2 minutes.
Seeing how I have an alternate vehicle to drive.
Yeah.
But I like to slip. It wasn't cheap, but I still saved about $45,000 over the price of a new truck, and now I have a brand new truck,
Well,
without all the payments.
The sales tax of the new truck would have paid for the motor. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And next time you have Scott inside the truck, I want you to pull around behind the grocery store in the alley. I want you to look both ways, make sure there's nobody there, and then I want you just to put it in drive and just dump your foot to the floor and just burn the back tires a little bit. And he might put his head between his legs and kiss his butt goodbye, but he also, and then you can say Mark Salem said to do that. And no, Scott's a good technician. He is a very good technician. Thompson's is a good shop. And I'm glad that you're happy with the outcome. And like you've already said, when you start doing the motor, you find all kinds of other little things. But the beauty is all the belts just cost you the belts, but you didn't pay labor to replace the belts or the hoses or the motor mounts or any of the air conditioning lines because they had to come off and go on anyway. So it doesn't make any difference if we take an old one off and put a new one on. There's no additional labor. Uh-huh. And so
that's why we did the clutch. While it was out.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So those are good decisions. And Thompson's is a great shop. And keep in mind this: there's a lot of good technicians, but the real master is the guy who owns the shop, and he's the one that tells everybody whether to dance and start with your right foot or your left foot. And so when you have a good shop, it typically comes from the top down. Likewise, if you have a bad shop, it's definitely from the top down. But you hit a home run on both Scott and Thompson's, and I'm happy for you. And thanks very much.
We got lucky with that salvage motor.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't smoke a bit, and it's been sitting on the ramp there for a couple of days and not a drip or a leak or a run or an error.
Good.
Anyway, Joey's mom and dad, Thelma and Brian.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, and Joey, I guess that technology and the integrity does run downhill.
It does.
He's really gone out of his way and stayed on top of things and kept in touch with me. And I've never been happier with any shop in my whole life.
All right,
that's great.
Thank you very much. Got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take more callers. And if you'd like to join us at 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Mark Salem here, and we're talking car repair. My shop said I need to do this. My dad said I'm doing this wrong. My wife just burnt up her third motor. Those are the kinds of questions we're really good at. All you have to do is give us a call at 602-508-0960. I started in 1988 in Phoenix talking about car repair questions. I rarely say the name of my shop because this isn't about my shop. This is about you and your problems, you and your car problems. I have a group of shops that I refer people to, and it's not for the money. It's because they're good shops, and I know the owners, and we all believe in the same thing. Let's just get the car fixed. Let's be reasonable at our estimates, and let's make sure that the technicians understand what we accept in their estimates and what we don't accept in their estimates. That's as easy as it gets. If you have a car question or if you have an argument with your brother-in-law or your wife or your mother or anybody, we're good at that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And until we get a call, we're going to talk about Kurt's Automotive. We've talked about him a little bit, but he's up at I-17 in Bell. He's on the northeast corner. And Kurt's has waved his magic wand. I can't tell you how many times, but it all started with a lady who had been told that she needed a $4,000 engine. And she called me, and I said, "Where do you live?" And she said, "Bell and I-17. And I said, "Well, what shop did you go to?" And she told me the shop. And I said, "Well, I want you to take, is your car drivable?" And she said, "Kinda." And I said, "Okay, well, take it over to Kurtz and ask him to look at it. I'll call ahead and ask him to look at it." So I called Kurtz, and I said, "She's on her way." And he calls me back, and he goes, "What's the problem?" And I said, "Well, she's up against a $4,000 engine." And he goes, "No, she isn't." He said, "This is a $70 repair. The oil pressure switch has turned on the red light on the dash. The oil pressure switch is bad. The motor's not bad. The pressure switch is lying. And so that's all it needs is to... Did you check the pressure?" "Of course I did. It's 20 on the low side and 50 to 60 on the top side." "Okay, good." So when she left, the light was out. "Yes, Mark, she left. She was happy. There was no more light. And I told her that if she wanted to spend $4,000 for a motor, I'd happily take her money anyway." So anyway, that's what Kurtz has done time and time again. Waves his magic wand and fix things. And so he's a good guy. He's honest as the day is long. And you know Kurtz. And wait a minute. Let me turn on your microphone.
Okay. And you can turn down my head. You're loud.
I'm loud?
You're very loud.
Okay, how about that?
Yep.
Okay. Wee. So, and one other place, and we'll talk about, is Strictly Diesel, Nate.
Yeah.
When he says Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, he's up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak. He means Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. He has some of the best diesel technicians in the business. He really strives for the best service possible, and getting the job done right the first time, all of us do that, but yeah. Nate does an exceptional job. And they're diehard diesel service, repair, and parts guys. So if you have a foreign or a domestic, but Chevy, Ford, or Dodge diesels, that's right in their wheelhouse. So he also has a website that has a lot of discussions on it as well as parts on it. And with discussion about the parts, this is what you should do if or this is what you should not do with this, or what you should not expect with this. But there's lots of that kind of stuff. And the best part about Nate is he'll actually answer the phone and talk to you. So Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, if you have a diesel and you have a car question or a diesel question, then you can certainly call them. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. There's five of them. I can hear Gil snoring in the background. Can you hear him?
I thought he said there was a caller.
Oh, Gil, you got a caller?
Yes, we do. We have Nick.
Nick, good morning. I'm sorry I made you wait. How can I help you?
No problem. This is kind of probably going to be a dumb question, but so my work truck is a 2012 Ford Explorer. It's got about 220,000 miles on it. I change the oil every 5,000 miles.
Okay.
But I've been noticing, like, when I check on my dashboard where you can go to the information, and it still says that their oil life 50%. Should I not pay attention to that at all and just change the oil at 5,000? Or
that's a great question. I'm going to let Renee answer that. Renee, take it.
Well, I would say that you don't have to replace it every 5,000 miles. What kind of oil are you using?
Just standard 30.
Conventional.
30 conventional oil, not semi-synthetic?
No.
No, okay.
No.
I think you would do it
you
on that.
Yeah, you trust the gauge. If it says 55%, you trust that that's a good number. Mm-hmm. Because we have 20 different sources of input: how hot or how cold the day is, how far you drove, how fast you drove, if your air conditioning was on, how many times you idled, how many times you were doing 70 miles an hour. All of that stuff is in the algorithm. So to be perfectly honest with you, you can do it either way you want. I would think that that's a 5,000-mile oil mm-hmm. change.
Yeah.
That's option one, is change it at 5,000. The other option is go by the oil change monitor on the dashboard. And really and truly, I don't think, have we ever had anybody lose a motor because they followed that?
No negative
effects. Mm-hmm. People don't trust it, and they're much more comfortable in, Mark put 7,000 or 10,000 on my door sticker, on my window sticker.
Yeah.
But in reality, that monitoring system is really state of the art. And they're keeping track of everything you do and washing it through this big program that says, okay, well, the oil should be worn out by now. And so either way you can do it. But to be honest with you, you don't need to change your oil every 5,000 miles. You need to check the oil level every other fuel to make sure that you're not below the ad mark. And if you went to a semi-synthetic, you could probably go 7,500 miles with no problem at all with a semi-synthetic, and that's perfectly acceptable in an oil that's called a semi-synthetic.
Okay, yeah, because this time I actually let it go to about 8,000 miles, and it still said that it's 25%.
Did you reset it on the last one, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you got in the truck and went to Los Angeles and did some work or picked up your wife or something and then came back home, that long miles isn't going to reduce your oil term, your oil use term, what would effectively be 400 or 500 miles. It's not going to do that because the car really, the computer likes it when you're doing 55, 65, 75 miles an hour and the air conditioning is on and you're blowing and going across Arizona on I-10. It likes that. Mm-hmm. Oil lasts a long time under those conditions. It's how many times you start it cold and how many times you just drive it to the liquor store. That's it. That's where it hates it.
1 minute.
So the short trips are bad. The long trips are wonderful.
Extend the life, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and being a work truck, that's a long drive almost all the time. So awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, Nick, thank you for calling. That is something that we deal with every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's some customers that just want a flat 3,000. Now, let me tell you, conventional oil, which is the conventional stuff that we've had all along, is 3,000 to 5,000. Mm-hmm. Semi-synthetic is 5,000 to 7,500, and synthetic is 7,500 to 15,000.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised on a 2012 that he's using conventional oil, actually. But
it didn't come with that. It came with a semi-synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. The conventional oil is a lot cheaper, too.
Yeah, it is.
And so the oil changes are going to be cheaper, and when the semi-synthetic is going to be a little bit more. Do you remember what those three numbers are?
Yes.
Okay, well, you give them to me on the other side of the break because I only got 6 seconds. You already messed me up.
Okay.
602-508-0960. Leave me alone. You're just bugging me. 602-5... No, I'm not going to do that because we don't need to do that. We're going to go straight to the phones because we got callers. Renee is first. Renee, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. My 2006 F-150 Lariat with a 5.4 Triton engine,
uh-huh.
It has 250,000 miles on it, and half the time when I start it up, I have to put it in neutral for it to start, to turn over. And I was wondering, and that's just been the last couple months that it's been like that. How expensive is that to repair?
That's a piece
and
of cake.
What needs to be done?
Piece of cake. It's on a 1 to 10 scale. This is a 1.
Oh, good.
Okay. There's a park neutral switch that's attached to your shifter. And the park neutral switch has two little screws, and it's way up underneath the dash. Us old guys know how to do this. And it slipped left to right a little bit, so you have to put it in neutral to get it to crank over and catch and start, where in park it doesn't. So all we're going to do is adjust your park neutral switch, but you're not going to go into the shop and tell them to adjust the park neutral switch. You call the shop and tell them just exactly what you told me, that it only starts in neutral. You can also call a transmission shop. I would strongly suggest that you check the reviews of any transmission shop you use, because there are some good ones and there are some bad ones. But this is a really easy one, and the answer you're going to get is we need to adjust your park neutral switch. That's the answer, and I think out the door, you got an idea?
I have no idea.
I'm thinking probably $60 plus or minus $20.
Okay.
And I'm quite sure that the switch has just fallen out of parameters.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have Renee, hold the key to the start position. I'm going to crawl underneath, loosen the two screws. I'm going to rotate it clockwise. Boom, it's going to start right up. I'm going to lock it down. Then she's going to shut the motor off, and I'm going to put it in neutral and see if it'll start. And if it does, that's $60.
Okay.
And I made fun of the time frame. You understand it takes longer than that, but that's what it is. Okay.
Is this something I need to do right away, or is it
not at all? Not at all.
Okay.
No, this is just wiggle. Now I'll tell you something else. I want you to try. I want you to go up into park. Okay. With your left hand, I want you to go to the start position, and then I want you to push the shifter up and then drop it down. But don't pull it towards you. Don't unlock the shifter. I just want you to wiggle the shifter. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that if you reach around with your left hand and go to the start position and you grab that shifter and you just push it up and push it down, I bet it does start, and that'll tell you I'm 100% right. The switch just needs to be adjusted.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, good enough.
You too.
Anthony, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning, everybody. I've got a work truck, the 2000 Astro Cargo model, and I'm up and down the freeway all day long. I decided to put some nicer wheels on it.
Okay.
And it won't balance, and I get a wicked shimmy at 70, and in this town you get run over doing 70 on the freeway.
Okay, I want to ask you a couple
and
questions.
Stock wheels are smooth.
Okay. Is the shimmy, does the steering wheel move north and south, up and down, or does it move left and right?
I thought it was north and south.
Okay. And is the seat of your pants, do you feel the vibration in the seat of your pants as well as the steering wheel?
After this last tire change on the rear end, it looks like it's up front.
Okay. Okay. I think I would, all of it points towards a balance problem. And so perhaps maybe you perhaps maybe you stop at Discount Tire and say, how much to charge my two, or to balance my two front tires, because they are really the king of the technology. They have machines and balance machines that are head and shoulders above many of the other shops in town. So you go there and say, balance my two front ones. Now, again, if it's shaking the steering wheel, it's in the front. If it's shaking your butt, it's in the back. You have to make that distinction, because we can't be trying to balance the rear tires when we have a steering wheel shake. We need to balance the front tires for a steering wheel shake. So that, just make sure they understand that that's what you're trying to fix. But the very best balance out there would be Discount Tire, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, I've gone through this like 3 or 4 times now, and I'm starting to get disappointed. And, you know, the lip on some of this aftermarket stuff isn't like the stock stuff, so I don't even know about that. So if you recommend them, I've been there, but I'll go back.
Maybe a different one or something. Different discount tire.
Yeah, I thought maybe there was an old gray-haired guy that had to know some black magic or something.
No. And it makes a difference, too, about the wheel. Are we using tape weights, or are we using external weights? And are they coming off?
It looks like tape.
Okay, but that's the question, because some of those old mags, and you said it was an old mag, some of those, they have to use stick weights, because we can't get the tack-on weights to fit on the outer lip or the inner lip of the wheel. So we have to go to tape weights. So, yeah, a Discount Tire, I haven't changed my mind. They're going to, I am 99% sure they can fix your problem. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Y'all have a good one.
And to you, too. Thank you. Dale and Mark, you stay there, because I got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take you 1-2. Dale's first, Mark second. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I need a favor. I need one more caller to call in, because we have an average of 12 callers per show, and we're at 11 right now, because I'm going to take care of Dale and Mark. And so I need to hit my average. So somebody call in and just say, does your wife know how to change oil? I can answer that question.
Or just say that they don't like you talking about motors and engines.
Oh, engines.
I'm going to go cut
another what?
Butt joint.
Oh, Snow White. Snow White never has a dirty mouth on her. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you said that. Dale, good morning. Save me from myself, buddy.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I have an 05 Sorento with a V6 I've had since it was new. It's been serviced regular. It's got 120K. And when I was out of town for 3 months, it came back and there was oil on the ground. So I started looking at the oil pan. The oil pan's been leaking oil. So anyway, I put some Lucas in it, and that seemed to have corrected it. Now I'm ready for an oil change. Should I keep using synthetic, or would it be better to use traditional oil?
It's not going to make any difference, but let me just talk about this real quick for you. The oil level in the oil pan is halfway from the bottom to the top, okay? Halfway from the bottom to the top. So the only place the oil pan can leak oil is at the drain plug. Because when you let it sit for that long period.
Not the drain plug. It might be valve cover. I really don't know.
Okay,
I'm not really a mechanic. I have a little mechanical background.
Okay.
Whatever it is, it quit doing it.
Well, Lucas, you're using the Lucas additive, and that's kind of like the old STP. And there's nothing wrong with that with 120,000 miles on it. So the answer is, if you were happy with that, I don't know that I'd use it on every oil change, but I certainly would use it on every other oil change and see if it makes any difference.
Okay.
But I think the thing here we got is the car sat for a long time, unusual long time. And as a result of that.
And it's summertime here in Arizona, so it's hot.
Yeah,
it just leaked it a lot. I think it was just a tad over a quart low when I got home.
Okay. And so how big was the puddle? Was it as big as a 2-foot circle, or a 1-foot circle, or a 6-inch circle?
I'd say about a 12-inch circle, or a little more.
Okay. Now I want to tell you that in reality, that's not even a third of a cup of oil. If you dump a quart of oil on the ground on a flat piece of concrete, that thing's going to grow to 5 or 6 feet. So,
well, the dipstick said it was down a little over. And I put in a cord, and it wasn't quite full.
Okay, and I understand that. All I'm telling you is that you didn't lose a quart of oil in that 5 days. It would have been an oil slick all over your garage. So I can't explain why it is. But and then once you park your car, there's some oil in the valve covers, but really everything drains down into the oil pan, and the oil pan is a big bathtub, and there's no place for the oil to come out of the oil pan except the drain plug. So when you look at it from that point of view, I don't know. It, it, I don't know what happened, but I don't know if I'd be real concerned about it if I were you. That's the bottom line, is I don't think it'll happen
all
again.
Right. So in other words, it makes no difference if I use synthetic or traditional oil.
You can use whatever makes you happy. The synthetic is a longer oil change interval, and it's better value for your money. The conventional, is the old-fashioned, is 3,000 to 5,000 miles, and it's pretty cheap. So if you like to go in every 3,000 to 5,000, then use conventional. But you can bounce back and forth between synthetic, semi-synthetic, and conventional, because your doggone motor doesn't have a brain, and it's going to know the difference. So your motor doesn't care, okay? Okay, perfect. Thank you, Dale. Thank you very much. Mark, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I love your show. I get a kick out of when your wife's on.
This is her last show. I wanted to tell everybody that. This is her last show.
Very funny. That's what you always say.
I know.
Renee, don't accept that.
I won't.
This is not your last show.
I know.
Listen, I've got kind of an odd question. I've got a 1971 Opel GT that I'm completely restoring. When I get done with the body, I'm looking to have the engine souped up just a little bit. Do you have any, I know you've got a great network. Do you have any ideas on a good machine shop that works on these older engines?
Well, I think we can, with today's technology and some of us gray-haired guys, I think we can do with it. You just have it rebuilt. Don't go crazy. Don't go into a high compression atmosphere where you have to use premium gas all the time. Just have them rebuild at stock and take advantage of any upgrades that you can. Because most of us old guys know that we're going to... Is it got points in that 70 Opel? It probably does, doesn't it?
I think it does,
yeah. So we know that the dwell affects the timing, but the timing doesn't affect the dwell. So we're going to set the dwell at exactly whatever the spec is, and then we're going to set the timing, and we're probably going to advance the timing about 4 or 5 degrees. We're going to make sure the mechanical advance and the vacuum advance is working, and we're going to go drive it, and if it rattles, then we're just going to back off the timing 1 degree at a time, and we're going to make sure that the gauge is in the halfway mark on the temperature, and we're just going to kind of hot rod it a little bit, and we're going to find out where it doesn't ping. And then we're going to lock the distributor down. Then we're going to say to you, Mark, if you ever start this car and it goes, if it ever does that, you need to bring it back to me because the timing's too far advanced and it's dragging the starter. So I need to knock a degree or two off of the timing. So us old guys know that we can give you a whole bunch more by just advancing the timing, but we also know what too far it means. And too far doesn't mean we're going to blow up the motor either. So we can take what you have and add I'm quite sure me and Tom Blackwell and Larry Harkers and Thompson's and a couple of shops, us old guys know how to squeeze out all the power. We might change the jets from a 60 to a 65, add a little bit more fuel to it. We might put some, you know, nicer spark plugs in it, stuff like that. But that's really what it's all about. You don't want to put a blower or a turbocharger on this. You'll be sorry.
No. I'm 72 years old. I'm done with that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I appreciate your advice. It's good advice. I wish I had my recorder on.
You can
this
always email me.
Oh, okay. This thing came out of the factory with a monster 85 horsepower.
Wow.
we have lawnmowers that have that much.
Yeah, and like one of your previous callers said, 70 miles an hour on the freeway, you're going to get stomped all over the place. So I just want to give it like 15 or 20 more horses.
We can do
not
that.
Like that?
Well, you know, we put a high-flow air filter on it. Depending on what you've got on there now, and maybe we can add a little bit more air to it. Certainly we can go into the carburetors and we can, there's a hole in the bottom of the carburetor called a jet, and then there's a graduated rod that goes into the jet, and when the jet goes down, it just allows a little bit of fuel to be sucked through that jet. But when the rod comes out, as you throttle up, the rod comes out, the hole then gets bigger and bigger because the rod is pulled out and it's graduated. So we know how to just change the rods, and we know how to, you know, take our, we many of us old guys have drill bits that are thousands of an inch difference. And so we look and we measure, and if 4 fits in there good, well, let's just take it to 5 thousandths, and your hair is 4 thousandths thick. So we've got these little drill bits that we use to, you know, but there's quite a few of us out there that they can make a measurable difference without going crazy on your opal.
Okay. Do you think you could rework the head, clean it up, port it some?
Well, you could, but then you're going to get into premium fuel, and then the variables get, there are three times as many variables when you start doing stuff like that. And now we have to synchronize fuel flow, airflow, and timing, and that gets kind of tough. And most of the time, you'll say, I'm sorry I did that. And I want to tell you this, I won't help you do something like that. Because that's just too, that is very radical, and the success rate is below 50%.
Oh, so I'm stuck with an 85 horsepower engine.
Well, you know, is it an automatic or standard?
No, it's a four-speed. Okay. It's a standard.
Does it lay rubber in first gear right now?
I don't know. I've never had it running.
Bring it over to my house, I'll tell you. I'll send my wife over to your house, she'll tell you. What part of town do you live in?
I'm out in Gold Canyon.
Okay, I don't have anybody out there at all. Give me.
Well, I would bring it to your shop if you would agree to work on it.
No, we're certainly capable of.
I don't care about putting a few miles on it.
I mean, we might say to the machine shop, take 3,000s, 4,000s off the head. Let's raise the compression ratio just a little bit. You know, we might find some flat top pistons, and maybe we go to a slight dome to raise the compression, and we're raising the compression by shaving a little bit more. Now keep in mind, a hair's 3,000 thick, so when I say that I want to mill 3,000s, I'm not taking a lot of metal off, but I'm raising the compression ratio. So the answer is yes. The problem is that if we make a mistake, if you and I make a mistake in what we pick from the menu, Mark has to eat that, and Mark doesn't like to eat that. So Mark wants to
Mark,
be conservative.
Me.
No, me. I'm sorry. I know your name is Mark. This is Mark Salem is going to eat that, and I don't like to do that. So I'm kind of a conservative when it comes to this, with this kind of stuff. I know I can make it. Well, first of all, an overhaul is going to make it run better, and I know I can make it a squeak better than that. And I know Tom Blackwell can do that. Harkers can do that. Who else is out there that?
Probably Kurtz.
Oh, Kurtz can do that. Yeah. No question about that. So we're all capable, because we're all your age, and we all grew up with points and condensers and old
cars.
Well,
I'm not going to bring a project like this to you and agree on the changes and then make you pay for any bad consequences. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
No,
but I do trust you. I've been listening to you guys for years, and I would love to bring this thing to your shop when I get to that point.
When you get there, then Andy and Alan, those are my kids. Andy's the CEO, CFO, and she runs all the men there. They all answer to her, including her brother. and Andy the other day diagnosed a car over the phone for me. I was driving down from Payson to Phoenix, and I'm talking to Andy. She diagnoses the problem I'm driving the car. I mean, she's just an exceptional young lady. We are so proud of all of our kids, but Andy and Alan are running the store. So that's well within our parameters. And yes, we can go through. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to really analyze the performance of the engine before we take it out. And so,
it hasn't been run.
Okay. But I think
I don't even know if it's frozen. I don't think it is, but.
We could get it running. We can feed it propane. We don't need a fuel system. We'll put some propane in it. All we need is spark. We'll start the son of a gun up. We'll rev it up. We'll look at the oil pressure. And tailpipe emissions are a lot, too. I know that you haven't had to go through on your 71 Opel. You haven't had to go through vehicle emissions. But what comes out of the tailpipe tells us what the heck's going on underneath the hood. If you're running a lot of raw fuel out of the tailpipe, I need to shut that spigot down. But if you're running lean and we're having high hydrocarbons, then I need to add more fuel. So that's what us old guys know the value of. What comes out of the tailpipe? You know what I mean? And not your tailpipe, the car's tailpipe, okay?
Yeah. Well, I think I found the answer for this little monster's problem. So give me a month or two, and I'll run it into your shop.
Okay. Well, we have 8 or 9 people that have been technicians. We have so many master technicians, and we've got 8 or 9 people that have been with us 20 and 25 and 30 years. So these guys know Mark Salem. They know what I expect, and they're the very best that we've ever had. We've got the best crew. I'm looking at my wife right now.
Yep.
The best crew that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 20 bays, so it's not like that it we're cramped for size and stuff. And we work from we just did a big boat. We did a bunch of work on a big boat just recently. We do motorhomes and we do hot rods and vintage and we do family cars. We do all that stuff. So
2 minutes.
We'd be a good choice for you, and I'm sure we could make you happy. I can tell you right now, we won't make any modifications, and we'll just tune it right, and you'll notice an obvious difference, but we'll cheat it the best we can. And you're going to be involved in those decisions. Okay?
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Mark.
You betcha. And Mark to Mark, over and
yeah.
over and out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care.
All righty. My email address is mark@marksalem.com, so if you have a car question and you're too shy to be on the radio, you can send me an email. If you'll put your cell phone in there, I call, but I'm going to do a *67, and so you need to know that. So when I read the email, I'm going to call you, and it's going to come back. And what does it come through on your phone?
Like
it's
unknown or blocked.
Yeah,
or
blocked
something.
Or something like that. Because I really can't have my
anonymous.
Cell phone. Yeah, get out there. So, but I will leave you a message and I'll say, hey, you sent me an email. That's Mark. It's 4:00 in the afternoon.
I'll call
you back in a half an hour. And you had sent me an email and I want to talk about your car. And so I'll call you back in a half an hour. That's usually what I do. And that's the easiest way. But my email address is mark@marksalem.com, and obviously our website is marksalem.com. The name of our shop is Salem Boys Auto, but that ties to the marksalem.com as well. So, well, you know, it's all pretty seamless. But the most important part is the best call we had today was from Jim,
mm-hmm.
who wanted to complain that I interchanged the word motor and engine.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that.
He schooled you today.
And he schooled me today. and it's
funny.
Okay. There are times I'm wrong. And mm-hmm. and then at the end of the show, I get email that say, hey, I want you to re-look at your answer. And mm-hmm. there's times I have to clean it up the next show.
Sure.
Anyway, mark@marksalem.com. I'll see you next Saturday here on KKNT 960, or you can catch us on iHeartRadio as well.